What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailgate.
It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
This is the tailgate. This is 670 The Score. You know the show. We're in week two. We made it to week two. Alex, how about that? We made it to week two. All football, all the time. That's the tailgate. 670 The Score. It's here. It's like football Christmas. The 2024 Bears home opener is just over 24 hours away. We're going to chop that up all day today. The NFL opening weekend will set you up on all the games, get you through the whole Sunday slate, Monday Night Football. We had the Thursday night opener, Chiefs, Ravens, a very good game. We'll talk about that. The Friday night game in Brazil, Eagles, Packers, Eagles 34, Packers 29, but that's not the story. If you didn't see that game last night on Peacock, something happened late in that game that affects Bears fans, Packers fans, the NFC North, the NFC. We'll get to that in just a minute. We will recap college football week one. We'll get you all set up for week two. Our guest today in a little bit, Tennessee Titans, four-time Pro Bowl safety Blaine Bishop. He was a hell of a player back in the day. He covers the Titans down there in sports radio. He'll give us the Titans view of the Bears season opener versus the Titans. We're looking forward to that. But let's get to the news from overnight. If you didn't watch the game last night, Eagles-Packers, the game was in Brazil, first of all. It was on a Friday night. It was on Peacock. I can see how some people missed that game. Eagles win 34-29, but that's not the story. The field last night, if you didn't see it, the field was choppy. It looked like a small college football field. There was stuff being pulled up. It just didn't look in condition. It's a soccer field that they converted to a professional football field. All during the game, people on social media like, look at this field. It's a disaster. I saw J.J. Watt commenting on it. A lot of different people. With 10 seconds left in the game, Jordan Love and the Packers are trying to drive down and get a late touchdown to take the lead. Jordan Love gets kind of steps up in the pocket, pass rush. He collapses the pocket. He steps up. He kind of shovels the ball to his running back. He gets high load by two Eagles defenders. And when he went down, he grabbed his leg and was like, it looked like he was screaming in pain. The training staff runs out. The game wraps up just moments later, and he was on the sidelines. It's really hard to tell what the injury is. If you're a Packers fan, the visual is not good. They say lower leg injury. The other part of this, they have to fly all the way from Brazil back to Green Bay to get all the medical treatment, all the MRIs and everything they need. But right now, Jordan Love's status for next week, the season, is in flux, and that affects the entire NFC. All right. Wow. The Bears home opener, Sunday, noon, on Fox. Bears are giving 4 points to Tennessee. The over-under is 44.5, so Vegas is expecting points. The weather, it is a Chamber of Commerce day in Chicago. I'm so jealous I'm not going to be there for this game. 68 degrees at kickoff, sunny, no wind, no rain. This would be a perfect time to be at a tailgate right there outside Soldier Field. That would be fantastic. But we're going to get to the Bears game, the hope, the dreams. But it was a very good week for the Bears. Nothing really went wrong. A couple of injuries, but don't look like anybody's out. One thing I liked this week, I heard Matt Eberflus on Friday, the Bears head coach, talking about this team, the training camp, the lack of injuries compared to last year's team. Here's Eberflus.
Just what we see on the grass, and we were healthier, much healthier throughout the course of training camp. You know, last year we had dealt with a bunch of injuries, a bunch of guys out at certain key spots. So I think that hurt the continuity of the group. I know we lost a couple guys to injury early on in the season as well, but just that, more continuity, better competition because the roster is better. I think that's really helped us. in the skill positions, at the line position, the quarterback, all positions. So I think that's helped us.
Yeah, I mean, he said that's what everyone's thinking. The roster is better. The roster is different, especially at the skill position players. We're going to get to the roster in a second, but one of my favorite lines this week was from Caleb Williams, Bears quarterback. He talked a little bit about what he does in the tunnel before he runs out for games. Let's hear it.
When feet touch the grass, it's going to be business as usual. But I probably will take I normally like to, when I run out the stadium, kind of do a little spin in the tunnel. When I'm coming out the tunnel, just kind of see the stadium, take it all in and feel the, the energy, the vibe and get going from there. Once I do my spin, get down to the sideline, it's go time.
He's going to feel the vibe tomorrow in Soldier Field. I think this place is going to be electric. The hopes all season, the whole off season. Bears fans, you're jonesing for a game. You've got all this passion. Preseason games, they're nice. They're passable. They're serviceable. But it doesn't compare to a regular season game. Don't forget, before Chicago takes on Tennessee tomorrow, tune in from 9 to noon Eastern for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Aurelios. Ooh, Aurelios. Join Mully, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley as they get you set for the game. Immediately following the game, Mully, Olin, Manley will have the instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. That will stream exclusively this week on the Score's YouTube and Twitch channels due to the Cubs game. I love Aurelios. I grew up on the South Side. Used to go to Aurelios in Homewood. Fantastic place. I miss it very bad. So we're less than 30 hours from Bears home opener. I've been thinking a lot about this Bears team and the hope from the offseason. We talked a little bit about it last week on the tailgate here, 670 Score. I'm your host, Paul Pabst. This team, which feels drastically different than the 2023 Bears, they don't feel anything alike beyond the quarterback position. And as a fan, whether you're walking the Soldier Field tomorrow or popping it on the TV to watch the opener, it feels like, to me, it feels like you're going to the grand opening of a brand new restaurant. It's all pubbed up. People are talking about it. This new place in town, new decor, fresh menu. They brought in the hot 5-star young chef. That's Caleb Williams, by the way, so you know I'm referring to. You walk in, you're fired up to try the new entrees. You're excited. You want it to be a great dining experience. Your expectations are high. Our expectations are high. You can't even imagine that it'll be a bad meal. How can this place not be great? They got the new chef. It looks fantastic. They got all these shiny things, like the skill position players, the shiny things. But it does happen. You ever watch those TV shows, those cooking shows, and you walk into this gorgeous restaurant, like, it didn't do it. New restaurant is set up for success, but sometimes they whiff. The 2024 Bears are like the hot new restaurant in Chicago that we can't wait to get to. They got brand new players, DeAndre Swift and Roma Dunze, the star from college, and Keenan Allen. We love him. Remember him? If there's a possibility it doesn't go right. And I'm not trying to poo-poo what's going on tomorrow, bum you out. But sitting here today, 28 hours before kickoff, our minds as Bears fans can only picture one result tomorrow, a nice, clean win against the Titans. And for the season overall, great improvement, maybe even NFC North title. And most importantly, I think most importantly to me, and I think for a lot of fans, at the end of the season, you look back and say, we found our quarterback. The century-long search for a franchise quarterback for the Chicago Bears is over, and it's Caleb Williams. That would be a great feeling, no matter what the result is with playoffs, not playoffs. But, if the Bears move on, and we're going to talk about the Packers in a second with the Jordan Love situation, if the Bears get to the playoffs, it won't just hinge on what they do as a team. They're in a tough division. I mean, the NFC North, I think, may be underrated nationally. They have a few teams to get past if they want to do some damage. Let's start at the bottom, or the perceived bottom, right? The Minnesota Vikings aren't a bad team. They're just maybe the least good team in the division, to be nice. The 2023 Vikings were 7-10. After the Kirk Cousins Achilles injury, which they decided to move on and draft J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, which I think was the right move for the franchise. They kept superstar receiver Justin Jefferson. There's some trade talk because they didn't want to pay full boat, $30-plus million for him. That's nuts. When you have the best, or at worst, the second-best wide receiver in football, that's what you want. That's what you draft for. You sign him. But, the bad news for the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy had knee surgery a few weeks ago and is out for the season. I didn't even see where he injured himself. It was like a progressive injury of meniscus. Now they give the ball to Sam Darnold, who was a big deal coming out at USC, but his career really is in flux. He hasn't really stepped up and established himself as a starting quarterback. As for the Vikings, the national media, nobody's really on the Vikings. I haven't seen anyone that likes them to threaten for the division title. I think they'd be a bit of a shocker. Now, the Green Bay Packers, Chicago's nemesis. Last season, the Pack were 9-8, and they squeaked into the postseason. That said, it doesn't matter how you get there. Once they got there, they made a statement. They rolled Dallas 48-32. What a game that was. They were up on the 49ers going into the fourth quarter of the NFC divisional playoff game with a young Jordan Love. A strong year for that franchise, but even more frustrating about the Packers for the Bears fans. It appears the Packers have again found their franchise quarterback. Jordan Love had a very good, almost great first season, and he gets his big new contract. It appears they have their guy for the next 5, 6, 7 years. And in the offseason, the Packers didn't do a lot. They added running back Josh Jacobs. Aaron Jones left. It's hard to picture the Packers regressing. I think that's where I look at them right now. A lot of people love their offensive talent. They think they'll be better this season, which makes the job of the Bears much tougher. But just to recap the top story of the day, Eagles 34, Packers 29 last night. But the big story is Jordan Love, lower leg injury, appeared serious with 10 seconds left in the game. All right, let's get to NFC North favorites, the Detroit Lions. Lions were 12-4 last year. In the playoffs, they beat the Rams. They beat the Buccaneers. They were rolling. You can make the case that they were beating the 49ers or beat the 49ers. In the NFC title game, Detroit was up 24-7 at half. And I'm not a Lions fan, but I root for great stories. You know, whether you're a Cubs fan or not, you should have been rooting for them in 2016. Stories like that. And when I saw the Lions up 24-7 at half, I'm like, they're gonna do it. The Lions are going to the Super Bowl, but I'm not one of those jinx guys who tweets it out. Lions are going to the Super Bowl. If I'm a Lions fan, I don't want halftime to happen, man. I don't want it to happen at all. I want to just keep going. In the second half, it unraveled. It unraveled fast versus the 49ers. Detroit had a bunch of chances to close that game out. They made a couple questionable decisions. The Lions remind me, though, of a team on the cusp of greatness. If you remember a long, long, long time ago, that Bulls team, before they won a title, they had to get past the Pistons, the bad boy Pistons. They had to learn how to win. I think that's kind of where Detroit is right now. They kind of puckered up last year when the Super Bowl is right in their sights. But they re-signed Jared Goff. Wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, they re-signed him. Their star lineman, Penei Sewell, they re-signed him. They got a great cornerback out of the draft, Terrion Arnold of Bama. To me, it would be a surprise if the Lions don't win the division and end up in the NFC title game, barring injury. But to me, that's where the NFC North is right now. All right, you were listening to the Tailgate, 670 The Score. I'm Paul Papps, and oh, breaking news. We have our first sponsor, Homage. Homage is sponsoring the Tailgate Show. All right, are you ready to level up your NFL gear, Chicago? Homage has the softest throwback apparel for Bears fans and beyond. Rep your favorite teams, players, and moments with hand-drawn, vintage-inspired design. They're so cozy. From officially lined Bears gear to your favorite Chicago teams, Homage has you covered. In fact, Bears fans have already made Chicago Homage's number one selling NFL team this season. How about that? Head to homage.com, H-O-M-A-G-E.com. Use the code TAILGATE for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. That's H-O-M-A-G-E.com. Pay Homage. How about that? Our first sponsor. Back to football. The NFL opened up the season. Kansas City, as ordered, you know, back-to-back champs. The Ravens at Chiefs, really good matchup, really fun game. There was a weather delay before the game, little lightning. The new kickoff, the dynamic kickoff was unveiled for real. Not only one was returned, but the Chiefs held out the Ravens 27-20. It was a close game. Lamar Jackson throws a pass with seconds to go to Isaiah Likely, his tight end. Back of the end zone. The refs called touchdown, but the sky judge said no dice. His toe, literally his toe was out. Fun game, great ending, nice start for the Chiefs. They've got this speedy rookie wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, out of Texas. He could be the next Tyreek Hill. He had a TD run, a TD catch. And Lamar Jackson, he's fascinating and frustrating. He's awesome, and he looks like he's playing a schoolyard with no plans at different times. I don't know how frustrating it would be to be a Ravens fan because you love the guy, but also it feels like, can we ever get to a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson? And that game felt like a microcosm of everything about the Ravens. Let's get back to last night because there is some news off last night. Friday night in Brazil, very wonky. The NFL does not do Friday night football. If you don't know, there was a law in 1961. It was a law. It's a sports broadcasting law. The NFL and professional sports leagues are not allowed to have Friday night football games from the second Friday in September until the second Friday in December. That is to protect the sanctity of high school football and Friday nights. Now you're wondering, if there's a law, how'd they play a game? This Friday was the first Friday of September. The NFL, I'm sure, saw that years ago and said, we have an opening to have a bonus primetime game on a Friday and not break the 61 law. They did it. They outsourced the game to Brazil. Not a pretty field, as we talked about. Eagles 34, Packers 29. If you missed the game, it was a little sloppy early. Jordan Love especially, not too great early. Jalen Hurts was okay. Saquon Barkley from the Giants, now an Eagle, played awesome. 24 carries, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had a touchdown receiving. The big story in the game, like I said, 10 seconds to go. Jordan Love is scrambling around, trying to make a play. He shuffles the ball to Josh Jacobs, a running back, and he gets high load. And you can't really see exactly what happens, but he grabs his knee and lower left leg. And if you're a Packers fan, it would be the same thing as the Jets last year. The result is not the same. We don't know the result of Jordan Love's injury, but the result, when Aaron Rodgers went down last year, six plays in, this wasn't six plays in, it was the end of the game. You're like, oh no, that's it. We're done. One little note, in case Jordan Love is out for any extended period of time, they did the trade for Malik Willis from the Titans. So that's a little bonus for them. And no news on that right now. We're checking all the NFL news, SportsCenter, everything like that, but no news on Jordan Love's situation. We'll keep you up to date if anything happens before the show. All right, big slate of games this Sunday, whole rack of games. Let's start. Let's go game by game, get you all prepped up. 1 p.m., all right, we got Steelers, Falcons. Now, you're like, oh, Steelers, Falcons, but that means a lot to Chicago Bears fans. Steelers at Falcons, Atlanta given 3.5, but this is the Russell Wilson, Justin Fields game. Russell Wilson has some type of injury, calf injury. He's questionable for the game. It's possible Justin Fields can play a little bit or a lot. We don't know. The one thing about Justin Fields, and I don't know if I speak for Bears fans here, but I think a lot of people in Chicago wish him the best. You know, they always say, whenever you get rid of someone, oh, you know, we're going to have to, I hate to let you go, but, you know, we wish you the best. Do we wish him the best? I wish him good luck. I don't know if I wish him great luck, because if he does really, really well with the Steelers, that could be awkward for Bears fans. That could be awkward for the Bears general manager. But again, it was the right decision to go with Caleb Williams. Steelers, Falcons, Atlanta given 3.5. Cardinals, Bills, Kyler Murray versus Josh Allen. Buffalo given 6.5 to the Cardinals. Titans, Bears, the line is 3.5 points. And Patriots, Bengals, Drake May not getting a start. He will be on the bench. Joe Burrow for the Bengals back from injury. Cincinnati is given 8.5 points. C.J. Stroud and the Texans at the Colts. Anthony Richardson is back. Remember him from Florida? Got injured last year. Houston only given 3 points to the Colts. Not sure I understand that one. Jaguars, Dolphins, Miami given 3.5. Panthers at Saints, Bryce Young, Derek Carr. New Orleans given 4 points. Vikings at Giants. We mentioned Sam Darnold earlier. He starts for the Vikings. Daniel Jones getting 1.5 from Minnesota. Raiders starting Gardner Minshew at quarterback versus the Chargers. Justin Herbert, his heel's okay. Jim Harbaugh makes his debut. Given 3 points to the Raiders, the Chargers are. Bo Nix makes a start in a late rack of games for the Broncos. Geno Smith for the Seahawks. Seahawks given 6 points. Cowboys, Dak Prescott versus the Browns, Deshaun Watson, Cleveland given 2.5. Commanders, Jaden Daniels makes his rookie debut against Baker Mayfield. That is another afternoon game. Last afternoon game, actually the Sunday night game, Matt Stafford and the Rams at Jared Goff and the Lions. Detroit is giving 4.5 points to the Rams. Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets versus Brock Purdy, San Francisco giving 4 points. And there we have it. You're all prepped up. We got some college football coming today. We'll keep an eye on the Jordan Love injury. We're going to talk about the new kickoff rule. We got a lot to get to. Up next, college football week one review, upcoming week two games to watch, and former Titans Pro Bowl safety Blaine Bishop. He'll get you squared away in the Bears' first opponent, the Tennessee Titans. I'm Paul Pabst. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Tailgate, 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. That cut there, that's Jim Harbaugh. I love football. I love, love, love football. I do too. We got college football today. We got the Bears tomorrow. 670 The Score and Circus Sports Illinois are teaming up to celebrate the start of football season this Thursday. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. And the afternoon show will be doing their live shows from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. Food trucks, games, and more throughout the day. That's this Thursday, 10 to 6, with The Score and Circa Sports Illinois. We get you ready for the Bears game. Man, I wish I was at Soldier Field tomorrow. I'll be watching on my big couch. I'm going to be making, like, my wife might be making me a 7-layer dip. If your wife ever makes you a 7-layer dip, or if your girlfriend does, marry her within a week of that happening. All right, let's get to college football. Last week, let's get you prepped up for this week, but recap last week. Georgia waxed Clemson 34-3. That's wild. That's a no-show by Clemson. I know Georgia's great, but Clemson a couple years ago would have been won that game. What happened to Dabo Swinney and Clemson football might be a topic that rolls all fall long. You look back at 2015 to 2020, Clemson was a powerhouse. What changed? Well, I'll tell you what changed. Dabo is stubborn to embrace the transfer portal era, the NIL era. Other teams are flying past him. You know, last week, Ohio State, Texas, Bama, Ole Miss, they all rolled against subpar competition. I'm really liking Ole Miss this year. They got a fun quarterback, Jackson Dart, great name. Georgia will be almost impossible to beat, but I'm thinking about picking Ole Miss to win the SEC. Probably come back to bite me. Two biggest wins last weekend, USC over LSU. That was on Sunday night in Vegas. Man, did Lincoln Riley, the USC head coach, need that one. He had a rough year last year. He had Caleb Williams, and they didn't do much. It was the defense, not him. But his new quarterback, Miller Moss, the guy looks like an accountant, but he's a killer. Even bigger, I think, last week is Notre Dame going down to College Station and handling Texas A&M 23-13. The Irish really needed this one. And you're like, oh, home opener, you know, a road opener. They could afford a loss. You know, Notre Dame could have afforded a loss last week, but they have a handleable schedule, a winnable schedule this year. They're in great shape for a playoff spot. They do face USC at the end of the regular season at USC. That's a great one in November. This gets us to week two slate of games. Big slate of games today. Actually, big opener, not a huge slate later. A monster game at 11 o'clock Chicago time. Texas at Michigan, and the Longhorns are for real. Texas given 7 to Michigan at Michigan. Michigan had a slow start last week against Fresno. Watch that game, but I think it could go south for Michigan by halftime. Northern Illinois, how about that? Huskies at Notre Dame this afternoon. That'll be fun. Iowa State at Iowa in the afternoon, and Kansas at the Illini tonight, plus a nice one, also nighttime, Colorado and Nebraska. All right, every week on the tailgate, 670 The Score, I'm Paul Pabst. We hand out the BMOC, the big man on campus, the player that stood out from the week of college football. This week, Miami Hurricanes quarterback Cam Ward. Last week, he had 385 yards passing, 3 touchdowns as the U smoked Florida 41-17. We don't actually have a prize for him or a gift, but we send him lots of respect. One last college football note. Have you seen Northwestern's new temporary football stadium right on the water, right on Lake Michigan? It's very cool. I watched them last week against Miami, Ohio during the daytime. I watched them last night against Duke. The views are legit. So what they did it up at Northwestern, they took an old lacrosse field, pumped it up to hold like 12 or 13,000 and got it ready for college football. It looks fantastic on TV. The lake right behind the football. Well done job. Nice job up at Evanston. Really well done. You are listening live to The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. This is 670 The Score. Let's talk some football. Let's talk some Bears. Let's talk some Tennessee Titans. Let's bring in our guest. He played 10 seasons in the NFL, a 4-time Pro Bowl safety. That's no joke. For the Houston Oilers and Tennessee Titans from 93 to 2001. He has his own radio show down in Nashville. He's here to get you prepped. The Bears' first opponent, the Tennessee Titans. He could still knock you senseless. He's Blaine Bishop. How you doing, Blaine?
What's going on, Paulie, man? I'm doing awesome, man. Good to hear from you, man. I see you're doing well, man. You got my man Sweetness back there in the background, man.
Your man Sweetness. Wait a second. Now, were you a Bears fan growing up?
Well, I was. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and We didn't have the Colts. The Colts came there when I got to high school, so we got all the Bears games. So I was a big Chicago Bears fan, and I could tell you all the players from Jim McMahon. That's when he's wearing the headband with the Pete Rozelle to Matt Sui and all the guys on defense, Refrigerator, Sui,
okay,
Hampton,
but
Dent.
You know I love Walter Payton. I now know that you love Walter Payton. To what level was your Walter Payton love? What type of shoes were you wearing?
Oh, man. I had the Kangaroos. I had the Kangaroos, man. I start running heels because of Walter Payton. I'm telling you right now. That was the only reason. And that really kind of got me over the top because I made all everything in high school, but you know, everybody felt I was too small. So those heels kind of took me over the top with my power and explosiveness. Yeah.
Well, now the Bears fans listening to us on 670 The Score are going to have a new love for Blaine Bishop. So let's get right to it. you know, you're, a lot of Bears fans are listening right now. You know the Titans like the back of your hand. You live down there. You work down there. It feels like, from a national perspective, that nobody's talking about the Tennessee Titans, which doesn't mean they're not good. It's they're just not catching on nationally. They've had a few down seasons. They got a young quarterback, Will Levis, that to me, I think he looks really promising, but he hasn't caught on nationally. For the Bears fans listening, what should they expect in the game on Sunday?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, Will Levis is super talented. And actually, you know, I studied him coming out and I thought he was one of the top quarterbacks, but his arm talent is exceptional. And he's a really tough kid, you know, tough minded, loves football and really smart, sharp guy, too. So, you know, learning all these things and him getting a chance to play last season, I think he started 9 games or so, you know, with all the injuries there at quarterback. And he likes to throw the home run ball. He's got a strong arm and he can just whip it. And it was shown in practice that he had the strongest arm on the team, even over Tannehill. It was easy and he could just whip it and flip his fingers and it would go. So those things, they're all translated now with a quarterback friendly offense with Brian Callahan as the new coach there. And that's probably helped him a lot because now he's shown a lot more patience going through his progression reads and taking what the defense gives you and not forcing things. So that's the maturation process. And now it's about, can he do it in games?
Yeah, as much as I'm looking forward to seeing the Bears debut on Sunday, I'm looking forward to seeing Levis and the Titans because, like you said, these aren't your parents' Titans with, you know, Derrick Henry 30 carries a game. It feels like it's going to be unleashed. Now, one thing about Will Levis, he's as jacked of a quarterback as I've seen in recent history. Can you be, this is a semi-serious question, can you be too jacked at the quarterback position?
Well, you know, that's something that I actually mentioned in the offseason, and all of a sudden he's kind of leaned out a little bit.
Okay.
He's still naturally thick, but he had the mentality of a quarterback. He still had that bravado, you know, that college spirit about him, and, you know, in the weight room, and when, which you don't see quarterbacks looking as ripped as he looked, and I'm talking about his guns. He still has the guns, but they're a little leaner now. You know, he understands he has to be functionally more. Your legs are an extension of your arm in the National Football League, and you go look at all the quarterbacks' legs now. Their legs are jacked up now. They're pretty strong guys, and their arms are a lot more leaner. So he's leaned out a little bit. So I think he kind of understands. And, you know, guys, I think the people they have around in there, new strength coach, I think they had conversations like that. And also to protect himself and to slide and not jump in the air like you're, you know, flying in the air like you're, you know, Superman in the preseason, you know, let's wait for the regular season. So that's his mentality. And they're just trying to will it in to be a quarterback and want to survive throughout an entire season and learn how to slide.
Okay. From an outsider's view, even though you grew up a Bears fan, when none of us have really seen this new version of the Bears, new quarterback, new wide receiver, new running back, some other new players at different positions, early impressions or expectations as a football player for what you think you're going to see with the Chicago Bears this season?
Man, I am super impressed with Caleb Williams and almost like I'm scared to see what's going to happen there because he seems like he's been in this league. He has a maturity level about him. I've listened to his interviews. He has a calming spirit about him. Seems like he can't get rattled. He's going to make mistakes, but it's not going to rattle him. You can tell when he's conversating that he, you know, he's dreamed and worked his whole entire life to get to this point, and now he's just going to let it rip. And I think that's who he is. And he, you know, he can scramble around, buy some time. I would give him this title. It maybe not to this extent. He's more like a Russell Wilson. He'll buy time. He's not. He doesn't want to run, but he can run. And he'll flip his, you know, wrist, and that ball will go. So I think that's the caveat. You just don't know what he'll bring to the table. I think the Titans are going to have to do some things to kind of bait him into some throws.
Okay.
And then that could maybe be the difference from a Titans perspective to actually win the game.
So you played safety. You, a lot of your job is to read the quarterback. What is the difference between defending a scrambling quarterback that doesn't really want to run? He just wants to extend the play to pass, and a running quarterback like a Vic in the old days or a Justin Fields recently. What's the difference as a defensive back?
Yeah. Lamar Jackson, like who's on the, you know, tonight. So yeah, it, you know, you just got to be disciplined in your path, you know, your rush lanes, as far as the pass rush, make sure you keep contained and stay in your lanes, everybody. But you don't change anything of your defense because you don't know what he may do. Because ultimately, you see him scrambling around buying time. And I don't know how much that's going to work in the National Football League because he's going to take some shots in a regular season game.
Right.
That he's going to get rid of the ball maybe on time. And that's one thing when you watch him in college, I think he relied on that. And I call it hero ball. And I think that he's going to play out of that once he gets into the league, and throwing the ball on time to the spots that need to be thrown to. So it's going to be interesting to see if he, and it's going to benefit him at times, but at certain times you got to get rid of that ball because you're going to get trapped. And that, right. That's how the league does with the pass rushers, to make sure, you know, guys like him stay in the pocket and you get push up the middle, then you force him to the outside guys and then they end up getting sacks.
Yeah, it's a good point when you talk about hero ball. I sometimes hear guys like Troy Aikman saying, hey, it's second and 10. If you throw an incompletion, we're okay. We can get it on third down, or we could punt the ball. But if you force a bad hand, when we're playing and faced a rookie quarterback, was there any little difference and wrinkle on your defensive plan for a rookie quarterback than a veteran?
Well, the rookie guys, you're always trying to, they don't know what they don't know. And, you know, even if you played in preseason, so, you know, you're not showing anything. So I think the Titans are catching him at a great time, because I think this guy is going to be a superstar. I think hopefully they can, you know, you can get at him at blitzing, just straight up man-to-man blitzing. You can do some zone blitzing schemes, and then you can fake blitz and then drop into zones where he's going to try to force it at times and may get, you know, duped or fooled at times. So, and they probably haven't shown any of this. Now, they've shown naturally they're going to blitz. So I think they've shown in preseason 33% of the time they blitz on defense there with Denard Wilson there coming over. You know, and now as the DC from Baltimore, the DB coach from Baltimore. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays, because I'm interested to see what the Bears do. Are they going to try to run the football, or are they going to try to throw? They have a lot of weapons. Even their tight end are really good. Are they going to try to, you know, get after it in the passing game? So it'll be an interesting matchup now that the Titans have Snead at corner from Kansas City, two rings there, and then Awuzie at the other corner. So both of them have been practicing all week, and they'll be available. So we got some guys that kind of can match up, but, you know, DJ Moore and Awuzie, and then, Keenan Allen, who's a wily vet, man. They are dangerous and swift and running back. Good Lord, he is set up to have success.
Yeah, they've added a lot to the roster. Titans are coming in Sunday to face the Bears. Former Titans Pro Bowl safety Blaine Bishop joining the tailgate, 670 The Score. I got some rapid-fire questions to go with you. Now, you played at Ball State University, right? You're on 670 The Score. Who is the best former football player on the air right now at 670 The Score?
Well, a lot of people don't know, man. He wrote for the Chicago Tribune for a long time. David Ha was an incredible All-American, academic All-American there.
Academic All-American.
Yeah, academic All-American. He might have made All-Conference, too. I was a freshman when he was a senior. So we got a little bit of time together there. But he was
impressive. Are you saying 670 The Score's morning show man David Hall could knock people out back in the day?
I would give him more of a ball hawk guy than a knockout artist. He definitely could tie. I mean, he was good. You know, he was a solid player in the MAC conference, as you know, it's in the MAC. And so, he was a really good player. He, you know, I bet you no one, he's that type of guy, too.
He doesn't talk about it.
Knows. No, probably nobody knows.
Yeah. This is great news. Breaking news here on the tailgate, 670 The Score. I want to go rapid fire before we let you go. Blaine Bishop, thanks for joining us. Toughest running back to bring down in your career?
Bring down probably Bettis, but the best all-around running back, nobody talks about him. At least as far as my perspective, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame, no doubt, was Fred Taylor of Jacksonville. He was a great blocker, great catcher. He had breakaway speed, and he was tough. So Fred Taylor was all around the best running back I played against.
Got to get him in the Hall of Fame. The wide receiver that was the nightmare, where you knew it's the longest day.
Well, you know, naturally, Randy Moss.
You don't admit it, I know.
I know, Randy Moss, but naturally, Jimmy Smith, underrated. We would have to double him, and he still would make plays. When we started doubling him with our guys, and we had, you know, Denard Walker and Samari Rowe were really good players. They when you start doubling guys in the National Football League and they're still making plays, I mean, we can go down the laundry list of guys like that. But since we played those guys in the AFC South twice a year, I'm always going to lean to those guys that we played.
All right, a couple more before we get you out of here. Did you ever knock yourself silly when you hit another player? Knock yourself out.
Well, we can go back and look at the Super Bowl that we played in against the Rams. I knocked myself out in the fourth quarter there with my head down. So you learn not to do that for sure. But I was really trying to – they hit him into me, and I didn't know he was coming so fast there. And I was going to hit him hard because he's a big guy. So that happened in the Super Bowl. So you can go check that out. It knocked me out.
At least you're in the Super Bowl doing it. It wasn't like a preseason game. All right, who was the teammate? You can admit it now because your career is over. Who was the teammate that you're a little bit scared of? I've heard like Hines Ward once told me that James Harrison was like Debo from the movie Friday. The teammate where you're just like, man, that guy makes me just a touch nervous. Or the guy you're facing, maybe. It doesn't have to be a teammate.
Man, my rookie, Greg Lloyd. I'm going to stick with the Steelers. Greg Lloyd, my rookie year, man. I was like, well, he started doing some karate stuff on the field, like after a play, and he pointed to our whole sidelines, and I took a step back.
Yeah, you're on defense. Whoa. He's on defense. It's not like you had to face him, and you're nervous.
No, I did not. That's how scary he was. I mean, he backed it up, man. There's a whole bunch of guys like that, but that was a vivid moment. When you're a rookie and now you are in the league facing these guys, it's a different animal. He was scary. Leon Searcy, tackle was pretty scary. I mean, but there, you can go down the list, but there guys come to mind right there. Yeah.
That's Steelers. Great. Let me pin you down, Blaine Bishop, before we let you go. Titans versus the Bears. Who's going to win and what's the score? Best guess.
Man, best guess, man. I want to give I'm going to be a homer, but and I think it's going to be a close one. 24-20 Titans. I think a little bit surprised there, Levis, with the new weapons and Ridley. You know, he's a burner. D-Hop and Tyler Boyd. You got some veteran proven players at receiver, and then you got the burst of lightning with Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. So I'm hoping that'll be enough against that. Really, I watched their defense yesterday against Detroit in the end of the season, and I think it was week 15 or something. I think they were 4-8. The Bears were 4-8, and Detroit was 9-3. They put a whooping on them, 28-13 or something like that, and their defense got after it. So it may be even a lower scoring game than that, but I'm hoping we get some play from the defense to help the offense out.
Blaine, thanks a lot for joining the show. Really appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the heads up on David Hall, because I'm going to have my head on a swivel now when I'm walking down the hallway.
Nah, he was a ball hog, man. He was a ball hog.
Talk to you next time. Take care.
Appreciate it, Bobby, man. Thanks.
How about that? I've known David Hall for years. I didn't know he was a ball hawk at Ball State. I got to keep an eye on that story. Coming up next, or a little later on the score, early odds with Jake Hassan right after the tailgate. And Inside the Clubhouse with Ryan McGuffey and Bruce Levine from 9 to 11. We'll keep an eye on that. The tailgate. Ready to level up your NFL gear? We're brought to you by Homage. Chicago, Homage has the softest throwback apparel. It's soft. It's cozy. It's great for napping and for watching football. Bears fans represent. Bears fans have already made up Chicago the number one team selling on Homage. Homage has you covered for Bears gear, NFL gear, Cubs gear, anything. Head to homage.com and use the code TAILGATE. Yeah, TAILGATE for 15% off your order. Some exclusions apply. That's HOMAGE.com. Pay Homage. Up next, we finish strong with our MVP pick, our Super Bowl pick, and I'll tell you exactly what happens in the Titans-Bears game tomorrow. All that's next. This is The Tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
Hey, this place is really something else, huh? Hey, someday I'm going to come out of that tunnel and I'm going to run onto this field.
Well, ain't going to be this day.
I'm here to play football for the Irish.
Coach Parcigi didn't know about it.
Here come the Irish.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Tailgate. This is 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. Last call. This show goes too fast. Alex Kuhn, Robbie Troiano, the producers of this show. I think this was our best show yet out of two. Again, keep an eye on a lot of stories today. Jordan Love story, if you're just waking up. Eagles 34, Packers 29 last night in Brazil. Not the story. Jordan Love gets hurt on the second to last play of the game. Lower leg injury. Absolutely nothing new this morning. They had an overnight flight back to Green Bay. We'll keep an eye on that, but that is a big story. It affects Green Bay fans, Chicago fans, the NFC North, everyone in football. This is The Tailgate, and this is our pub and grub of the week. We're going to go. We pick out a place to go watch football. Bears football, college football, anything. We don't care. As long as you get out of the house and check out some football. If you can't go to a tailgate, tailgate at a bar. We're going to go to 2100 West Irving Park Road to O'Donovan's. Comes highly recommended by my people. Been around a long time. They have burgers, steaks, ribs, and wings as their main foods. That's all four food groups to me. Lots of TVs. Check it out. O'Donovan's. By the way, it was great having Blaine Bishop on the show. He was a lot of fun. Last week, we had Jarrett Payton on. It's funny. When we had Jarrett Payton on last week, he was talking about his dad's jersey and Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam wearing it. And I said, you know, Eddie Vedder's playing Friday at or Saturday at Wrigley Field. He goes, he is? I go, yeah. I go, you should go meet him. He goes, I'm going to go meet Eddie Vedder. And if you saw social media, Jarrod Payton met Eddie Vedder and went on stage during the concert. And that's what the Tailgate Show does. We bring people together. I consider Jarrod Payton a friend. I consider, I don't know Eddie Vedder whatsoever. All right, how's morale? Bears fans' morale. We're going to check it on every week. I think it's through the roof. You can't wait for the game tomorrow. Bright, sunny day. We're going to grade it out every week. But right now, it would be a gut shot if the Bears lost tomorrow. I don't even want to talk about that. But today, morale is about an 8.8. All right, let's get to the Tailgate Rookie of the Year call. I'm going to make my prediction. It'd be easy to pick Chiefs rookie Xavier Worthy off his great start, 2 touchdowns in the Chiefs opener. But I really think it's between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels of Washington, the quarterback. I think these two are going to battle for Rookie of the Year. I think Jaden Daniels has a leg up on Caleb Williams from the fact that he's going to run a lot more, and those running stats will get a lot of attention. That said, at the end of the day, and I'm not being a homer, I think Caleb Williams is going to win Rookie of the Year because of wins. If the Bears make the playoffs, he will be Rookie of the Year because he's got to play well to get him there. So I think Caleb Williams closely over Jaden Daniels of Washington for Rookie of the Year. MVP, you know, I thought Jordan Love was one of my picks for having a shot for MVP. As we talked about, he has a leg injury. No new news, but we've got to keep an eye on that. Jared Goff of the Lions, I think, has a good shot. He has better stats than you expect. I think he had 30 touchdowns and 4,600 yards last year, but he's not spectacular. Could it be Josh Allen's year if he overachieves with a lesser team? But the Tailgate, we're picking C.J. Stroud of the Texans. Hell of a rookie year. It's on a tee for him. They added talent. They added Diggs. Better team. C.J. Stroud's a fresh story, likable player. I really feel that he could be Rookie of the Year. Super Bowl pick. Been grinding on this one. I try to pick my Super Bowl pick in 10 seconds and never think about it again. The Super Bowl pick for this year is the Detroit Lions over the Houston Texans. Both teams overachieved last year. You can maybe say that the Lions underachieved because they were about to be in the Super Bowl and they let it go. Houston added a lot in the offseason. Detroit, to me, is the 2016 Cubs of the NFL. You know, it's going to sound weird for a guy who roots for the Bears saying that the Lions will win the Super Bowl, but I'm just analyzing it. They feel like they're really, really close. You know, if somehow the Packers aren't as good, it makes it even easier. The Bears will be good and definitely challenge them, but I don't think Minnesota is going to really challenge them, Green Bay. Also, we're going to do a thing every week. How wrong was I? It's a football prediction, and we're actually going to check it the week later. I'm going Rams over the Lions. Yeah, Rams over the Lions week one. The Lions, expectations are high, but somehow they'll lose to the Rams in week one. It's time for the Bears game pick. Grinding on this one as well. 68 degrees, sunny day, Soldier Field, packed house. I'm going with a bit of a low-scoring game against the Titans. I'm going with the Bears 23-20 in a really tight game. The bonus, here's how it's going to play out. Bears are tied late, 20-20. Caleb has the ball, a minute and a half, maybe a timeout or two. And he gets him down the field for the game-winning kick, and all will be right in Chicago. And that would be a great way to start the season. A win versus the Titans would set up a great week. Next week, NBC Sports primetime against the Houston Texans. What a day. A lot of college football today. Don't forget Texas versus Michigan early, 11 o'clock Chicago time, but a lot to get to. It's week one. Let's try to be calm. It's like judging and figure skating. Throw out the highs and low scores with the Bears this season. Let's focus. Let's try to enjoy the new faces. Give them a month. It's September. They should be out soaking in the new squad that has given us so much hope. Don't freak out if there's a loss. Keep your head about you. Have a beer. Have two. Take a walk. Get an emotional support dog. Whatever you have to do. Enjoy the football. I'm Paul Pabst. This is The Tailgate. 670 The Score. Have a good weekend.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.